Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord. I believe we are approaching a very interesting time in the history of this church. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as I spend a little bit of time challenging this morning our adults, Lord, in this matter of both getting involved and learning and educating themselves a little bit concerning the children's ministries here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, what it takes to pull them off. And I pray, Lord, that you would recruit some laborers, Lord, for the harvest, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maintaining and expanding children's ministries, one of the things the Lord has blessed us and allowed us to do is to keep a focus for these 39-plus years, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, on reaching out and reaching children. I probably did something I shouldn't have done, but I decided I would text Jesse in the middle of his honeymoon and give him a vacation Bible school update. And so I told him at the end of the week what had happened, and he texted back and said, "Preacher, maybe in 15 years, one of those kids that got saved in VBS, you'll get to perform their wedding at Blessed Hope Baptist Church." I believe that children's ministries are worth it. A week hardly goes by where we're not out door knocking, cold turkey door knock, people we don't know, didn't meet, where somebody doesn't say to me, when I was little, I rode the bus and came on the bus route. I mean, I dare you, you pick any street in any burg in this community and knock on doors for 2 hours and tell me you don't run into somebody that says, "I went to VBS at your church. I used to ride the red and white buses at your church. I was saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church." It's worth it. It's worth it. Now, maintaining and expanding children's ministries, I want to talk to you about that. It takes something. It requires something of a congregation to be able to not only do what we do, but continue to do what we do, and if we're ever going to be able to expand what we do. It takes something. There's a price that has to be paid. Jesus said there's a big harvest. The harvest has never been the problem. Lack of harvest has never been the problem. Lack of labors has always been the problem, and it was in Jesus' time, and it will be throughout our time until the rapture comes. I think, outline for you 7 prayer requests that Jesus asked us to pray for. This is the very first one he gave, and I think it's because it's the most important one that he gave. He asked us to pray for laborers. That means that one of the obligations I have is to do that. You know, if somebody in our church had a real need and they called the prayer chain, or they brought something to the pulpit and asked the church to pray for it, and somebody gave you, or maybe someone just personally came to you and said, "Would you pray with me about a prayer request?" You would, I think, want to honor that, and you'd want to do right by them, and you wouldn't just tell them you would. Listen, this is Jesus coming and saying, "I'm going to give you a prayer request." Let me say this, folks. It is wrong for us not every single day to pray for laborers for the harvest. This is a prayer request Christ gave. Here's an honest question. Don't answer it. Don't raise your hand. When's the last time you prayed for laborers for the harvest? Now, let me tell you why. One of these days I'll reteach that. We did in our year of prayer, and we did so much teaching on prayer. But Jesus gave 7 prayer requests, not just randomly for no purpose. He gave 7 prayer requests for a reason. You know, one of the reasons I think that people, God's people, don't pray this prayer request is because the minute you pray it, you got to be confronted by it. Everything that Christ asked us to pray about means that he wanted us on our knees in his presence talking about it to him. Now, you go every day of your life and you kneel before the throne of grace and you bring this request, and you know what the first thing the Holy Spirit's going to The first person maybe the Holy Spirit's going to recruit as one of those laborers. Come on now. I mean, Jesus knew what he was doing. So I think it's a sin for us not to honor the Lord's prayer request. I think it's wrong for us to say, he said, pray you the Lord of the harvest. Did he say if you feel like it? Did he say, let me just give you a suggestion? Is that a command? Is that a command, class? All right, then. If we do not obey a command of Christ, last time I taught children, I told them that was a sin to not obey something Jesus said to do. So we ought to pray it. I believe the reason we don't want to pray it is because we don't want to confront it. Now listen to me. Listen to me. Everybody, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, listen to me. You know the only way to maintain and expand children's ministries is to have laborers. To have laborers. To have people that are willing to roll up their sleeves. How many of you have figured out that ministry is work? Okay, ministry is not dressing up. Ministry is not walking in your splendor. Ministry is not saying, when do I have my next pulpit opportunity, or when do I get on the stage? I like those little lights pointing at me. That's not ministry. Okay, folks, I stand here four times a week, usually three times a week or four times a week. And let me say this, that is a minute part of the ministry. That's what you see, but you know what the ministry is? Work. It's just work. Every once in a while I have somebody, bless their hearts. And they may not say it exactly like this, but by the time they get done saying it, they're saying this. They get to feeling guilty about not doing much. So they'll come up and they'll say, in so many words, Pastor, if there's something I could do around here, by the way, I need flexibility. I can't have it cramp my style. I don't know if I can do anything every week, because then I wouldn't be able to slip in and out whenever I feel like it. I don't want to be inconvenienced, and I don't want it to be hard. But if you have a job like that, I'd be glad to do it. Can I just make an announcement? I have no jobs like that. I have no jobs like that. I'm not supposed to have jobs like that. God doesn't want to be some little side hobby that we fit in whenever it's convenient. God wants, and his work ought to be a priority in our life, where we inconvenience ourselves and work and labor for the Lord's work. And so watch this. I'm going to help our church right here. And I'm talking to some of the younger ones coming up. I'm not some of you senior saints. And by the way, a lot of the senior saints you see sitting around this room, when they were in their younger years, labored. And they still are doing what they can. And what's so sad is I'll teach on this, and I'll have somebody in their 80s come to me and try to say, well, preacher, I'll do what I can. You know what? They've done it. Okay? They've done it. We have to energize youth. We have to have young couples, middle-aged couples step up. Now, if you want to, you can spend your whole life. Preacher, the next phase of life will be more convenient. I can't do it when I'm a teenager because you don't understand, I'm too cool. Wait till I get to be a young adult, because everybody knows young adults are not cool. Then they become young adults, and oh, I'm busy with college and classes, and I'm busy with this, and I'm busy with that. Wait till I get married, and then things will settle down. So they get married, and then oh my goodness sakes, I've got a mortgage to pay, and now she's expecting a baby, and we've got little ones. And preacher, I'll tell you what, let us get all of our children up to a certain age, and then we'll be available. And you get them up to a certain age, oh my goodness sakes, they're more work now than I thought they were going to be. But I'll tell you what, as soon as we get them all out of the house, then we'll be available. And then you get them all out of the house, and you say, boy, I'm tired. I just don't have the energy. You know what you need, preacher? You need to get some of these young people involved. I mean, if you want to, you can always have a reason. But you know what? Or you can decide, teenagers, you're going to serve the Lord when you're a teenager. And then you know what? When you're a graduate from high school, you're not going to disappear. You're gonna plug in, and you're gonna get busy, and you're gonna keep serving the Lord. And then when you get married, you go on a honeymoon. We gave you what? A week off? That's enough. Get back here and get busy. Good night. Stop messing around. And guess what? You just go into a new phase of life, but you don't stop serving the Lord. And mamas, listen to me. I mean this. Some of you not only are wanting to check out serving the Lord when you start having children, but you're wanting to pull your husband out of serving the Lord. Come on now. I would not, listen, I'm going to say this, and you ought to listen very carefully what I'm going to say. God has a way of taking away excuses. Let me say it again. God has a way of taking away excuses. The last thing I would do as a parent is use my children as an excuse not to serve the Lord. Just let that settle in. Are you listening to me? And you know what? Me and my wife did when we had little ones. They just came with us. We just managed it. I watched people load on buses on Sunday morning carrying children with them. Come on now. Come on. You know what you do? You just work it out. You just do it. You do what's got to be done. Well, I've got children, I've got small children. I'll just take the next 10 years off soul winning. I mean, my wife's taken some of our little girls, and I've taken some of our little girls, and I'm going to tell you something. If you don't want people slamming doors on your face, take a little 2 or 3 year old with you, man. In fact, the one time that a Jehovah Witness got me, the one time they got me, I mean, usually I see them coming, I know what I'm going to say. I mean, I got it all. The one time I was at the house, and we got a knock on the door in the evening, and I opened the door, and there was a grandmother there with a little cute little 4-year-old girl, and she was smiling, and I said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And the next thing you know, the little girl was handing me a paper, and I was telling them to have a good day, and they got in the car and drove away, and I looked at it, and it was a watchtower. I thought, those little sneaky people. I mean, I'm usually not very nice to them, but I mean, good night. They got me with the cute little kid. They got me. And I'm, you know what? Let me say this. It's a good thing to see a young family out visiting together. It's a good thing for a husband-wife team to go. It's a good thing to knock on the door and have some of your children with you. That tells the community we're serious about this. We're not just doing it. We're raising our children to do it. Now, what I'm saying is this. Folks, we can spend the rest of our life making excuses. Some of you have got a mental block. I want to help our church here. Listen to me. That all of a sudden, you're not created to work in any children's ministry. You need to get rid of that thinking. Yes, children's ministries are priority one. Yes, you may be more gifted in some other areas. Good. Work in that area also. But there's somewhere that you're needed working with young people or you're working with children. There is. Now, say, well, preacher, let me help you with some things. A preacher, you know what? I don't know how. I mean, now, if you're going to maintain and expand children's ministries, you know what? You have to be willing to be trained to work with children. Now, there is that rare individual that just seems to be born with the gift of just... they get it. They got it. But I promise you, as much as we'd like to claim that's true, if you'd go back, you'd find out that they were trained to get it. One of the great things that we had, and I got to talk to Denny Brewer this week. He heard there was VBS. Of course, me and Brother Denny ran VBS for years here. And one of the blessings of being able to talk to him about it, he called. He can't stand it. Every year we have VBS, he calls me about 5 times during the week. It drives me crazy. What'd you do today? What was the skit about? you know what you ought to do tomorrow? But I told him, I said, Brother Brewer, the entire skit team was either teenagers or young adults that was sitting in the pew back in the day when we were doing Vacation Bible School. Most of the bus workers, most of the teachers, a lot of the helpers were people that just grew up here. I mean, 2 and 3 year olds who were crying, scared of Ricky Ticky Tacky or whatever his name was or something like that, you know. And all the other crazy characters, Black Bart, scare him half to death. Brother Brewer's got a philosophy about BVFs. It's not a success if you don't have 2 and 3 year olds crying. It's just not a success. And so I don't know if that's good or not, but that's his philosophy. Now listen, it is easier if you're raised in it. I'm just going to flat tell you, there's a reason we involve our teenagers. There's a lot of reason we're involving our young people. There's a reason I want teenagers signing up and I want you to be involved. The children's church is being run right now by kids that used to be in children's church. I mean, just about the whole team out there used to be in children's church. Now, let me help you with something. Anytime that you can help in a children's ministry, you ought to go help. But you ought not to just go help. You ought to try to learn. I think one of the key reasons and key things that God taught me in Bible college was this. You can go somewhere to serve, or you can go somewhere to serve and learn while you're serving. Some folks show up at a thing and they kind of watch the person halfway, but they're doing their duties, but they're not really thinking. Now, by observation, all of you that were helpers this week in Vacation Bible School, by observation, you should have learned how to run a Vacation Bible School program from the platform. Those numbers are workers and everything, but how do you get 230, 240 kids completely quiet, sitting up straight and tall? Some people would say it's impossible. Public school system's just about given up on the idea. They've just decided to teach in the midst of chaos. And you think I'm kidding you, but I'm not kidding you. You can't get them to, yes, you can. You absolutely can. I was blessed when I was in Bible college. I was blessed to get under some really, really good children's workers. Just real good children's workers. Johnny Esposito, that's coming here in July 1st, we had to change the date, by the way, he's coming Sunday, July 1st, was my roommate. I went to Bible college. My first 2 years I was in Fisherman's Club so I could work on my soul winning and wanted to become a better soul winner. I transitioned into the bus ministry. He was my roommate. He said, hey, if you're going to come into the bus ministry this summer, would you help on my route? I said, sure. Brother Johnny, that summer, had to drive the bus because his bus driver went home for the summer. I had to lead a program. I'd never led a program before on a bus. Never. Ever. I wasn't into bus ministry as a teenager here. Worked in other areas, but not that area. I'd never been up to lead a program. I stood, and as he drove, he told me, here's the next thing you do. I'll never forget. First Sunday I tried to lead a program. Within 4 or 5 minutes, I'd lost my voice. Lost it, because first thing I'd had to do was try to get their attention, and I'm screaming, from my throat. You know what? I developed my preaching voice on the bus route. He literally had to teach me how to talk from my diaphragm so that I would have a voice at the end of the day. My voice is a little bit scratchy today, not too bad. And I've done 5 days of Vacation Bible School. You know why? Because I learned. I learned how to run an exciting program. I watched him do it. He taught me how to do it. I used to go help in a children's church. And I want to say his name was Dan Kagan, right? Is it Kagan or Kagan? Dan Kagan ran the children's church that I helped while I was being trained in the ministry on weekends. And that man, I'm going to tell you something, was one of the most, he'd walk into a room, 300 kids in it, no chairs, there was no room for chairs, to have them sitting on the ground. And he would get up on the platform and for an hour and 15 minutes, hour and 20 minutes, would absolutely just, those kids were right there. I sat back as a freshman Bible college and I was doing my duties, watching my little section, but mostly I was watching him. I mean, everything he did for a reason. I watched the way he used the inflection of his voice. I saw the way he whispered like this sometime because he wanted to get the kids quiet. And I'd see him get them up on their feet, scream at the top of their lungs all the way to the top, and then, I mean, literally 10 seconds later, have them all seated. And I watched everything he did. Now, what I'm saying is this. This whole excuse about, well, I just can't. I just not me. I just can't do it. Well, if we're gonna do that, we're never going to have a children's ministry. Okay, listen, I need people, watch this. I need people who were not raised in the bus ministry to get into the bus ministry. You can be trained to do it. It can't just be one or two families if we're going to maintain this and keep this thing going. It's got to be people who have never been in the bus. If I can learn to be a bus captain, you can learn to be a bus captain. If I can learn to be a bus worker, you can learn to be a bus worker and be successful at it. But you know what? You might have to upset your life a little. This is good for us. you might have to rearrange your weekend a little. Let me help you young men. Well, our teenagers aren't here, are they? Okay. When I was in Bible college and I started looking for a wife, I wasn't out there in front of the church at 20 after 9 when the bus came straight from the dormitory to the church where all the little Baptist divas came walking in at the last minute, primed and proper. I wanted to go back there where they parked the buses and watch the lady workers come out, and their hair's kind of like this and their makeup's a little, and they got a footprint on their side of their skirt, you know, and a part of a jelly donut right there. That's where you want to find a wife. That's where you want to find a wife. Somebody want to just give me an amen there. Oh, okay, you marry a diva, you're going to have to maintain a diva. You got to write that in your Bible. No one's writing down any notes. You marry a diva, you're going to maintain a diva. Okay? And what I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. I'm not interested. Listen, I know not everybody in Blessed Baptist Church is going to be in a bus ministry. I got it. But everybody needs to be plugged into something that requires you to get outside of your comfort zone. That pushes you beyond your limits. Come on. Makes you try something you've never tried before. Make you do something you've never done before. Watch this. Here's the real point. Makes you die to self. Makes you die to yourself. If your excuse for not doing something when it comes to service to God is, but I, you've just figured out what your problem is. Well, I know. And that's what your problem is. And so I'm just throwing that out because, folks, listen, we need folks plugging in. It's exciting to show up, watch, and see what God's doing. But I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to be, I'm telling you, I've gone down the list. I know the situation here. We are not going to have the children's ministries that we have right now, 3 years from now, if we do not get some folks to cross some lines and move some mental blocks and decide that you're going to roll up your sleeves and you're going to be inconvenienced and you're going to make changes in your life that you need to make in order to be qualified. Part of dying to self is saying, you know what? What the kids need is more important than what I want. We're not going to have them. I'm getting to the point where instead of being able to start bus routes, I'm going to have to start shutting down bus routes. Preacher, can you get somebody to take this route? No, because I don't have anybody right now. And I think my answer is going to have, could you get someone to take this class? No. I think my answer is going to be, let's just shut it down. Now, this is the generation that's either going to watch this church go to a whole new level or stand before God responsible for watching the demise of this church. If we're going to turn into a bunch of pretty boys and Baptist divas and redefine that as spirituality around here, then you might as well start carving out the tombstone. Okay? Church here is not for us all to get together and look around and glory in each other's righteousness. It's a place where laborers come and die to self and live for others and roll up their sleeves and work and do and watch God take the planting and the watering and give us an increase. The day we stop planting and watering, we can pretty much figure the increase is going to stop shortly after. So think about these things that I've talked to you about this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to bless, Lord. Many, many people are right now doing what I'm talking about while I'm teaching. In the next hour, there's people that are going to leave the comfort of this auditorium. They're going to head to all kinds of places across this property. And they're going to get busy serving the Lord. Children are going to be blessed and helped. They're going to be given a great time. They're going to get the word of God. Some will be saved. All because, Lord, of an answer to a prayer that you asked us to pray. A laborer whose heart was touched and said, I can do that. I may not know everything, but if you'll tell me what to do, if you'll show me what to do, if you'll train me what to do, I'll help. I pray, Lord, that you would move in our hearts, please. We pray in Jesus' name.